Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. I'm Eddie, your host, and you're watching The Dean Show. And today we're going to be trying to solve some problems from the womb to the tomb, and then there's some drama in between. So we're going to be answering your question. Somebody wrote in, gave us a question, and we're going to talk to the experts. How can we diagnose the problem, and how can we give a solution? Not based on our desires, but based on the verbatim word of God, the Quran, and the authentic hadith, the sunnah, from the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So sit tight, we'll be back with our next guest, Dr. Sheikh Hatim, here on the Deen Show.
Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice.
Peace be with you.
Same to you.
How are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah.
So just a little bit about yourself, so our viewers know you're a doctor, a PhD, you got more degrees than a thermometer. You are really out there educating the people, and you're doing some wonderful work, and we're so excited that you're here with us on The Dean Show.
I'm very pleased to be here with you.
Tell us a little bit about your background for those who already, many already know who you are, but for those that don't know anything about you.
Well, I'm a doctor by training. I also continue to work as a physician, more particularly a pediatrician. And I work part-time as a pediatrician. I'm also the Dean of Sharia Academy of America. I have always studied both simultaneously, secular and Islamic studies simultaneously. So I was able to finish my medical school and thereafter pursue a master's degree in Islamic studies and then a PhD in Islamic studies from Tripoli, Lebanon. And that's pretty much it. I have my medical degree and my board certification as well as my PhD in Islamic studies.
Now tell us, you said something, you said an Arabic word. Now we try to reach out to many of the not yet Muslims, because a Muslim is one who has submitted himself to the one God, consciously trying to do all the good that the one God wants us to do. But you said Sharia. Now there's some people out there, they get freaked out. So we want them to know, what does this word, when you say Sharia, what does that mean?
Sharia means the path that Allah had shown us, the path to success, the path to prosperity, our spiritual survival. The word Sharia in Arabic means the path to water or water bodies. And as much as water bodies are important for your physical sustenance, Sharia, which is the way that God had shown us, is important for your spiritual sustenance.
And you said Allah. Yes. Is this a moon god?
No, Allah said do not prostrate to the sun or the moon, but prostrate to God who created them both. So it is, Allah is the proper name for God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the Lord of all the prophets and messengers from Adam through Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, peace be upon all of them.
So I think now the people can rest assured that we're talking about some good stuff, the good things that bring solace and contentment to your heart if you let it in. So let's continue on. Now, we get a lot of emails, and we love having experts like yourself, people who are qualified to give the advice. Now, the email, paraphrasing, is talking about a mother who has a daughter, and that daughter has become very rebellious. And she's being very disrespectful to her parents. Now, the mother goes on, and you read the email also, the mother goes on to say that the daughter used to study Islam a little bit, but somehow she got off track. She's trying to figure out, is she possessed by a jinn? Is she having some mental illnesses? They try to have her committed, but on and on, the situation is not getting better, it's getting worse. She also has some children who who are in the deen, who have chosen to submit themselves fully to the one God, doing all the good that he's told them to do, Islam. And they're advising her, so they're seeing things from a different perspective. They're seeing that the parent is not fully accepting and doing a lot of the wonderful things that the Creator has told her to do. So they say this might be the problem, not fully submitting to the Creator and kind of picking and choosing what's convenient for you. So this is kind of just paraphrasing so that people can kind of get an idea of what we're dealing with. You've also read it. What are your conclusions, Shaykh?
Well, I believe that if you are in a house and this house is on fire and you want to save your kids and you ask them to run away from the fire, I think you will be running away yourself. You will be trying to get everyone out to that house that's on fire, and you will be more of a believer that everybody needs to run away, and you'll be one of those running away from that fire. And the fire of the hereafter is not in any way, shape, or form less painful than this fire. So if you're trying to save your kids from the fire of the hereafter, but they're not seeing that you're trying to save yourself, they would wonder if you're really sincere, if that's true, if there is actually fire.
If
you don't look, run away, there is fire. I mean, that doesn't really look like there is fire. But if they see that you believe in the presence of this fire and you're acting upon that belief, they will be believers as well in the presence of this fire. So I think that we have to walk our talk and we have to really commit in order for us to give advice to our children. The other thing that people need to understand also is that oftentimes the parents do a lot of patchwork. And Islam is a holistic system. It's the construct of this religion is quite intricate, but yet simple. It's simple to understand, but it is not. It is not without a vision. The vision of this religion is based on Tawheed. The foundation of this religion is Tawheed. It is the complete commitment, the complete surrender to the Creator. And once you have this, once you have Tawheed, then it will be easy for you to start receiving the do's and the don'ts. You can do this, you cannot do that. But if it's just a matter of like a collection of do's and don'ts, then it becomes very difficult for the spirit to accept and to surrender to. But once someone is has the good understanding of what Tawheed is about, what his relation or her relationship with the Creator should be like, the do's and the don'ts will become very easy to submit to. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, said that the first thing that was revealed of the Quran were verses or chapters from the last part of the Quran, which is al-Mufassal, which is the last seventh of the Quran, that have the mention of al-Jannah, paradise, and the hellfire. And when the people returned to the Lord, then Allah revealed to them, do not fornicate, do not drink, do not do this or that. And then Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said, had this been the first thing to be revealed, they would have said, we would never give up this, we would never give up alcohol or give up, illegitimate sex. So that's what people need to understand. It is not a collection, random collection of commands and prohibitions. We value the commands and prohibitions. We surrender to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created us. But again, there is a vision that has to contain all of this in order for you to be able, in order for the spirit to be able to submit.
Let's take a break, Shaykh, and we'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.
No problem. You can take my daughter to dinner. You and my daughter and me. Let me tell you something. It's natural. That's the idea. God created it. And he created us to have a good time. Mm-hmm. We should have a good time. Only with our wives, though.
Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. And most of the converts are women, not men. They see that the rules of Islam, instead of constraining them, the rules set them free.
Back here with Dr. Hatim Sheikh, continuing on. The person says, you know what? Okay, I agree with this. Allah, the creator, Allah is my creator, I understand this, but all these things, these are things for the person that, you know what, his faith is a little bit weak. I got the faith in my heart. All these other rules, that was for back then. Now, you know, I gotta work, I gotta provide for the family, and I believe. So this is more for the people who need their iman to increase. What do we say about this?
I think the simplest answer to this is to ask the person if he believes that the Prophet ﷺ had faith and iman in his heart or not. And if the Prophet's iman and faith were greater than his or not, as well as the companions, because some people... the beauty of having this great generation, the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, is that when people say, well, he was a prophet, but wait a second, those were not prophets. These were normal human beings who are not receiving a revelation. They had faith, they had iman, and they had greater faith in iman than the very vast majority of us, yet they were still committed, they still prayed, they still fasted, they still... conform to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect of their lives, whether it is their relationships with their spouses, their co-workers, their fellow Muslims, or it is their ibadat or acts of worship, fasting, praying, zakat, hajj.
They didn't neglect anything.
They have not neglected anything, even though they have greater iman than all of us, and they continue to do this to the end line. You know, all the way until the end of their life, in complete conformity with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can never mention one single companion who used this argument to say, no, now I do not need to pray, or I do not need to do this or that.
So you mentioned the hellfire. That's a place where we want to avoid. So, but if you do the good, what we should be striving for, is it Jannah? So there is a hellfire. And it makes sense, consequences. You're going to be accountable for doing bad things or turning away from the guidance and turning away from your Creator and being rebellious. But then there's also a paradise? There's a reward for doing the good?
Absolutely. There is a reward for doing the good. That's the fairness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exalted is He. There is punishment for the bad doer and reward for the good doer. And paradise is the ultimate destiny for all of those who accept the will of their Creator and obey Him and believe in Him. The hellfire is the abode of those who deviate from this and reject it because of pride, because they're stubborn or too proud. To surrender to the one who created them. They don't pause for a second to ask themselves, well, we're here. There's got to be some purpose for being here in this dunya or in this life. And it is unfair of the great creator of this whole magnificent universe to make the destiny and the ending of the good and the evil and, you know, the victim and the victimizer the same.
Yeah,
there's got to be a difference.
Yeah, I mean, Hitler or whoever else, you can give some, you know, examples of an evil person. He can't just be left without having to pay for the consequences of some of the evil things that people have done rampantly across the earth. So this would be for those people, and also people who just turn away from doing all the good things that the Creator told him to do. He's given us air, He's given us the love that we love with, He's given us so many benefits. At least we can do is obey Him. That just makes sense.
Absolutely, and all people recognize that absolute justice is not always served in this life. when is it going to be served? You know, absolute justice. Oftentimes, you know, criminals and victimizers get away with their crimes. Sometimes they get caught, sometimes they get punished for their crimes, but oftentimes we hear about tyrants throughout the history of mankind. We hear about tyrants who continue to be monarchs and chiefs and continue to torment the people and torture them and sort of, you know, enjoy their lives, even though as Muslims we believe that if you depart from the way of Allah, you can never truly have inner happiness and enjoyment. But as far as people can tell, you know, from a superficial outlook or perspective, they're enjoying their life, they're, you know, presidents and chiefs, and they have the money and they have the power and they have everything. And they continue to do, to have all of this until they die, you know, at age 80 or age 90. But justice will be served. You know, it is part of the wisdom of the Creator that their ending could not be the same, like someone who surrendered to his will, who is doing good, serving the people, being honest, being truthful, being kind and merciful to all people. And it's impossible that they would have the same ending.
So now let's go back to the original question that the mother wants to know, or is asking, could she be wrong because her children are advising her, okay, mother, you should be more in tune with connecting your heart to the hereafter, to paradise, and wearing the proper Islamic covering, the hijab, and implementing the things that the Creator has told us to do. So the children see a correlation between the daughter being disrespectful and the neglectfulness of the mother towards the commands of the Creator. Are they seeing some things here that the mother's not seeing?
Absolutely. Being contradictory is the worst thing that you want to be. That's part of hypocrisy, is that your actions and your sayings will not really be the same. And so the departure between the two will be quite obvious in the eyes of all people. Unfortunately, except yourself. Oftentimes you will deceive yourself into not seeing the contradiction between your sayings and actions. But again, at the same time, the children will be entitled to saying, if it is good, why don't you do it? If it is bad, why do you want me to do it? So I think that they're entitled to this. Eventually, when the children become adults, they'll become responsible, accountable adults. So that does not actually take the blame off of them completely. So the children have to also understand that once they become adults and they're responsible and accountable in the sight of Allah, no matter how their upbringing was imperfect or defective, even if they were not born to Muslims in the first place, once they become adults, they start to have their own accountability and their own relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they have to be aware that even though my parents were really not very successful at raising me as a Muslim, but it is time for me now to take charge of myself and to protect my soul from destruction.
We're going to hold off on that point. We'll be right back. We're going to take a break. Don't go nowhere.
He is the maintainer.
You say that you do not believe in Jesus, you have stepped outside of Islam. You cannot be a Muslim. It is a tenet of our faith to believe in and love Jesus Christ.
Why is it then when it comes to one of the most important decisions in life, we literally abuse ourselves? It's not that the main thing we're looking for is to see what type of money he has so that he can treat my daughter like a princess. It's not about that.
He is the one who protects us from hunger.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome back to the Deen Show. We're in the studio with Dr. Hatim. We're addressing an issue, a family issue, where the mother, and many parents can relate to this, where their children are starting to be rebellious. And this is the worst. You fed this child, you raised this child, and now this child's turning their back. They're using curse words, profanity. You tell them this, they do that. But now, you start to think, are they possessed? Has the devil gotten into them? Is it a medical condition? Okay, so what route do we go? Do they go and get Rukia done? Do they go, that's that spiritual healing? Do they go to the MD, come see a doctor like yourself, and also a sheikh? And then the diagnosis. How do you diagnose if you're in accordance and living your life to the fullest? Because didn't Allah say in the Quran to enter into submission, into Islam wholeheartedly? So which of these three do we take, or do we take all of them?
I think you take all of them, but you have to prioritize. I think that, first of all, people start a little bit too late, and people wait until their kids are teenagers to start disciplining them. Because when they start to see signs that, you know, things are not working out, or my child is getting into danger, that's when they remember that I should have actually taught them about Islam earlier. I should, you know, what's happening? Why am I losing the battle? Because you started late. That's why you're losing the battle. In fact, you want to be starting very, very early. You want to be starting from day one, if not before day one. You know, choosing the right partner in the first place is where you start. If you want to have, you know, success in raising your kids, you want to choose a good partner. If you are the man, then you have to understand that mostly the kids will be raised by the mother. By the way, the word umm in Arabic, which is mother, is a very beautiful word because it has to do with containment and gathering. Like ummah, it contains various nations. And the word imam, because the imam who leads you in the prayer contains the congregation, you can't precede them. Comes from containment, so it contains the child psychologically and emotionally and mentally. In every aspect, she nourishes the child in every aspect. So to choose your right partner first and then to understand the different stages that the child goes through, that stage of being a rebellious adolescent, if you want me to answer your question specifically, I think oftentimes we do not know how to tackle this rebellion. I think to be angry and to be out of control yourself will further worsen the condition. You need to take a pause and to think first. You know, Al-Bukhari, the most authentic collection. Bukhari is the one who collected the most authentic collection of the Prophet's sayings. Mm-hmm. He has a chapter in his book called Chapter of Knowledge Precedes Action.
Yeah.
So think about it, you know, before you start acting and before you start to come up with all of those solutions that in your own perception, you probably want to be asking the experts, you're probably going to be investing some time in investigating the matter and trying to figure out what is actually right for this condition. Like I said, if you start to become angry and you start also to escalate the matter between you and your son or your daughter, and by saying, you know, go away, or get out of my face, or, you know, I don't know what to do with you anymore, I'm completely disappointed in you, you're a complete failure, all of that, you know, list of things that parents sometimes say. I think that you want to first figure out why did they change. If they, you know, I think from what you said before, there was like a change. If they were better before and they're worse now, why did they change? And then you want to have open-ended questions, you know, and ask them, I hate to see you sad, or, you know, I'm sad in the body, or distressed. Can you share with me why you are distressed? Maybe I can help. Oftentimes they will have certain issues, you know, certain power conflict with parents, and then, and instead of saying, you know, this is the right way, and, you know, just forcing it without justification, without clarification or justification, you can sit down with your child and say, well, here are our options, let's study them. You want to do this, here are the options, you know, there's option one, two, three, four, the pros and the cons of every option, let's study them, and let's see what is best. Sometimes the child, you know, sometimes the parent does not need to be always blamed, although oftentimes, in fact, Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah bestow mercy on him, said that oftentimes the failure of the child is a consequence of the parent's failure in raising them. But sometimes the child is very difficult, and in this case, you also want to be moderate in your emotions. So even if you want to say, get out of my, you know, my face, say, would it help you to go to your room and pray, or, you know, contemplate, or something of that nature. I think being gentle, as the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, is always good. Gentleness will always be good whenever used in any matter in which it's used.
So during all these, we only have a few more minutes. We got to just get a couple more points. So in doing a self-diagnosis, should a person start with themselves and say from A to Z, am I sincerely doing all the good things that the Creator's told me to do and staying away from all the evil things that the Creator's told me to do? So is it safe to say, should a person start with themselves, diagnose themselves, and say, look, am I totally in compliance with what my Lord wants me to do? Am I staying away from the evil? Will this help also bring out the mercy from the Creator?
Absolutely. First thing that you want to start with when you tackle any difficulty in your life is to turn to God who created you, Allah, and to ask Him for help. But if you ask Him for help, you also want to align yourself with the will of God, with the way of God,
yeah.
So that you will be worthy of receiving this help. It is, you know, it's quite logical that if you're quiet, wicked, and evil, you're not worthy of receiving the help of God. Oftentimes also, people fail to understand or fail to recognize their shortcomings and their failures. So it leads a little bit of an introspective approach. Before you start to worry about the problems of your kids, you need to be a little bit more introspective and think about yourself, and then realign yourself with the will of God and the way of God, and then ask Him for help with your kids. And then if you do all of this, you're very likely to receive a positive answer. Now, we have to caution again that Nuh alayhi salam, Allah's blessings and peace be upon him, and then the rest of the prophets, including Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he lost his son. So I can't say that Nuh alayhi salam failed. This was one of the greatest prophets and messengers of God. But this is rather the exception, not the rule. As a parent, I have to understand this is the exception, not the rule. But I have to understand that this exception can take place. So I don't have to always blame the parent. But again, going back to the issue of where do you start? I think you start from yourself, by correcting yourself, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you guidance, and then you try to seek help from all people, whether there is like a jinn that is possessing the child or not. I think the treatment of this is easy, which is to recite Quran, to help the child recite Quran, to make dua for the child, and certainly to avoid getting into, to the mystical approaches to this issue by having to go to a particular individual, because the key, Allah never gave the keys to our treatment, the keys to the path, the path to Him. The keys of the gate will never be kept with one particular individual that I have to go to, and he will save me. The treatment was has been instilled in the religion itself, the Quran, is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, this should not delay you from seeking medical help when it's needed.
Okay. Sheikh, thank you so much. They're signaling that we're out of time. JazakAllah khair. May God Almighty Allah reward you for being with us. Thank you very much. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Dean Show. You got to hear it. I don't have much to add. It's very simple. There is a hellfire. It's there. But there's a paradise. Let's strive for paradise, avoid the hellfire. All the messengers of God taught about this. This is nothing new. But do you want paradise? So let's be in compliance with what our Creator told us to do. And if you look at it, there's so much wisdom behind it. There's so much good from doing the good that the Creator's told us to do. And until next time, peace be unto you. We'll see you then. That's all.
He created the universe. To him belong the heavens and the earth. The ever-living, he is the first. He's the owner of mercy. He sent his messengers to warn his creatures of the grave danger of worshiping other than Allah. There is none greater than the